Welcome to the Enneagram Global Summit, where top experts are sharing key insights that illuminate the nine essential pathways to your true nature. Share this event with your friends and family, and come join us on Facebook at the Shift Network. And now your host, Jessica Dibb, founder of the Inspiration Consciousness School.
Welcome, everyone, to the Enneagram Global Summit 2016 and this special session called the Enneagram and Awakening Organizations. We want you to be remarkable. Our guest speaker and faculty here is Catherine Bell. Catherine wants us to have a global conversation during this session on awakening organizations. Catherine is the founder of The Awakened Company and Blue Era, which is one of the 200 fastest-growing companies in Canada. And the Enneagram has been instrumental in her organization and the organization she works with. And we're delighted to welcome you here, Catherine, to learn about what you've been doing in this cutting-edge way with organizations and businesses.
Thank you for having me, Jessica.
So, typically, historically, the word awakening, which many people associate with consciousness and spiritual growth and personal evolution, was not a word that you would hear of in conjunction with businesses. But little by little, we are hearing that more, and certainly you're one of the people that is making that happen. So I'd like to ask you, why do we need to awaken in business?
So there's a number of things that people need to know. We need to bring the business research to life. So first of all, the majority of organizations don't survive past 9 years. Over 75% of our organizations die within the first 9 years of business. And to me, that's not okay. That's not okay. In addition, let's bring it now to the individual level. Over 70% of people are disengaged at work. And of that 70%, 18% are actively disengaged. So they're actively working against their organization. And then, Jessica, couple this. Most people would rate taking out the kitty litter as more enjoyable than spending time with their bosses. And they rate their bosses as consistently the worst, their worst time of day. So I think in Enneagram terms, if we looked at the instincts, at the individual level, we're asleep in organization, the relationship level, we're asleep in organization, and kind of the team or social level, we're asleep in organizations. So we really need to awaken something new, and that's what the Awaken Company is about, is kind of a groundswell of here are some things that we can do, that we can activate, that we can energize to help our organizations become more awake, more alive, and thriving like a forest versus the asleep form of organization that we currently have now.
That is beautiful and really a shocking statistic to hear that 70% of people are really truly disengaged with their work. That's really soul-numbing. So What can we do to awaken in our organizations?
So first of all, let's remember our three instincts. So, you know, individual, relationship, and social. Number one, when it comes to individual awakening, to get engaged, there's a direct correlation between engagement and happiness. And becoming more self-aware, there's also a direct correlation between the number, the amount of self-awareness a person has and their actual performance. So in other words, the more self-aware a person is, the higher they perform. So what does that tell us about the Enneagram? Is that people need to become aware and aware of their gifts and aware of their work-ons and aware of their fears to help activate something new. So number one, I think we need to begin with self-awareness and coupled with mindfulness training. There was a study done in Europe, and Jessica, this turns leadership training on its head. What they examined is people who studied corporate social responsibility and those that studied mindfulness. And then they actually measured their behaviors afterwards to see who was more corporate socially responsible, those that studied mindfulness or those that studied corporate social responsibility. In actuality, those who studied mindfulness were actually more socially responsible. So we need to begin to couple our self-awareness with our with mindfulness anytime we begin in organizations. And this is a radical shift than beginning with strategy. We need to begin with who are we and who do we need to be to get to where we want to go. So to begin in self-awareness. And let's go to the second level, Jessica, of relationships. And what can we do with relationships? So people who study the Enneagram will be interested in this, that when I looked at the instincts of business leaders, there was about 24.9% were self-preservation, 68% were social, and only 6.3% were sexual, or as some people prefer to call it, one-on-one. And when then I really began to observe CEOs and talk to CEOs and meet with CEOs, and a lot of CEOs really love the town hall energy. Let's get in group. Or prefer to spend time on their own. Where what we need to really do is to cultivate our one-on-one relationships. The more we notice people's awesome, the more we notice how remarkable people are, the more we notice their gifts of their Enneagram type, the higher they will be engaged. And again, another study, some more empirical evidence for us, is the most disengaged group of people are those who aren't even noticed. And that disengagement goes down by 33% for those who are negatively noticed. So even by negatively noticing the people that we work with, the amount of disengagement goes down to 33%. And then take one more step. Let's start to notice people's awesome and what they're doing right and mirror it back to them. Disengagement goes down to less than 1%. So what I'm talking about, this is not rocket science. Let's catch each other in the act of being awake and in the act of being awakened. And then we can go to the social level or team level. And typically when I meet with business leaders, the first thing they talk about is, I want to be $1 billion in less than 5 years. I say, oh, really? How is that motivating the hearts, hands, and heads of your people? Because it's not. It's not at all. Whereas if what's been found in research is if we spend two-thirds of our time building culture and one-third of our time focused on financial results, that's the alchemical mix. In fact, if we just focus on financial results, we will perform two times less than if we focus on two-thirds culture, one-third financial results. And if we just focus on culture, then we perform two times less than if we focus on two-thirds culture, one-third on results. And the Enneagram has provided kind of a key to energizing that, which we can talk about.
Yeah, why don't you move right into that? Because this is just a fascinating statistic. And I just want to bring in here, because it will relate to some of the other, it's relating to some of the other speakers on the summit talking about the neurobiology of the Enneagram and all of that, that you're talking, this bringing together of noticing the awesomeness of another, which is the sexual instinct, but then that's important that you mirror it, you know, and there's that whole, that you notice it, that then you're really engaging the mirror neurons in the brain and you're creating a field of empathic and compassionate engagement. So that's sort of bringing together the social and the sexual right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Go ahead, Jessica.
It seems really fascinating, and so I think people do want to know then, so how the Enneagram helps create that kind of a platform where you're really noticing the awesomeness, you're mirroring it, and then there's a new kind of engagement and creativity happening.
Very, very much so. And I really analyzed organizations, and I've worked with many organizations on this. And in there have been so many organizations that are doing this, companies like Patagonia, companies like, you know, Blue Earth Renewables in Canada, Otto Scharmer from MIT with his work with Theory U. Like, there's a lot of people doing awesome, awesome work. So we have a lot of examples to pull from. Despite the statistics, you know, the averages are not great. And it's such a huge opportunity for improvement. So, you know, when building an organization or when working with an organization, when you're beginning, we really want to ignite the energy of the 8, 7, and 3. So this has to do with direction, vision setting, energy, joy, external adaptation and focus, and also a focus on what are our results going to be, because that is important. It's building of an awakened reason for existing. We need to get really clear and very deep on our reasons why. Why do we exist in organization? Because that actually, that, and when are people actually responding to a need versus just creating another something or other? We need to go deep in terms of our reason for why we exist and ignite it with the energy of the 3, 7, and 8. And ignite it, and being awareful of the market, the suppliers, the environment.
So it's really about creating a passionate purpose, or being connected with the passionate purpose that's really serving something larger than itself. And I'm just wondering if you could give an example of how you would help a company energize its 8, 7, and 3 and create that sense of purpose.
So an example, one that we've done with organizations, and when we're working with organizations, Jessica, we work at the individual level, the relationship level, and at the team level. So there's individual awakening as well as collective awakening. Mm-hmm. And we have various processes and socialization processes for this whole activation. We, Simon Sinek has a great video called The Why Video, and it's about 4 minutes long. We show it to teams, and then we break them into groups and talk about that, get them to articulate. Typically, it's the executive team with members from all ranges of the organization into these sessions. And talk about why. Why does your organization, and we divide them into teams. So we kind of get some energy going, some competitive energy going. And then we bring the team together, and then they hash it through together. And then guess what? They socialize it. They bring it back to their teams in the office. They bring it to suppliers. They bring it to the customers and get feedback. So it does take some time to do, but people support what they create. That's a Margaret Wheatley principle. And by doing this, everybody becomes part of energizing the organization and gets behind it because they feel like their voice has been heard and has been part of it. And then once that energy has been activated, to lean on the types 2, 6, and 1. And this is about the internal alignment in an organization. It's about our culture, our climate, having meaningful connection, having values, care, service, connectedness, organizational structure. And it's so important to have integrity and a clarity of values and socialized values as well, and to ensure that people are accountable and responsible. Whereas right now, Jessica, what's happening is people are, when I looked at the numbers, so of a group of over 1,000 business people, they're about 38.5% are in the assertives, and 42.8% are in the sustainers, which is the 2, 6, 1. So what's happening now is a ton of practices, unawakened practices, are being activated and sustained. And then when I looked at the regeneration group, the 5, 4, 9, it's only 18.6%. And what is regeneration? It's the 5, 4, 9. And when I looked at the number of, you know, the percentages of the 5, 4, 9, the 5 and 4 alone are less than 3% of all people in the organization of the sample size that I looked at, which is quite a good sample size. So we really need to, and look at what we're doing to the planet. You know, we're burning the planet out, and in many ways we're burning ourselves out. This whole concept of how do we regenerate, it's our biggest challenge. It's kind of to sit in discomfort with nothing to do. This is our capacity for renewal, pausing, reflection, investigation, taking time to learn, to innovate, to be creative, expressing our individuality, and having cohesive stability.
Really fascinating, Catherine. And so obviously any organization is going to be healthier. And, you know, we should say here that when we're talking about organizations, it's not just business, it's all organizations.
Yeah.
Nonprofit, okay. Government, education, family systems, you know, communities. And so, you know, it's there's a clear path then for helping people, for the energizing parts, that bringing out the 8, 7, and 3 in an organization. And you gave an example of the why video and then people really getting in touch with their purpose. It seems like with the sustaining part, that is very prevalent, and yet there could be a kind of shadow if it's not aligned with a lot of integrity. So what do you do to help an organization really get the kind of alignment and integrity and care and service that the 261 can bring in?
So organizational values, real organizational values, not aspirational values, are super important to lean on and to create together, similar to the vision process. So getting groups of people together and just talking story, and then distilling what are the organizational values that kind of everyone can hold high to. And then, Jessica, it needs to be reiterated. So it can't just be, and same with the vision. You know, we need to be continually reinforcing and sustaining what we've built so that people remember it. And to have that kind of care and service and connectedness, you know, that whole connection piece, when we think of noticing back to the relationship piece, noticing the people's awesome, you know, just to reinforce that, to see it.
So when you have the energizing principle being the aspirational values being reiterated and you have the organizational values being reiterated, then it would seem to me that would invite or embrace more of allowing or even encouraging the rejuvenation energy to come in. Is that true?
That is true. And also with just bringing awareness to that we need regeneration. So, for example, at Blue Era, we have stillness breaks, and anyone can call them at any time of the day. We also have unlimited vacation, so anyone can take a holiday whenever they want, to create entirely different structures for people to exist within organizations.
So this sounds really fascinating, Catherine, if I may just come in here. I mean, I think some people listening would be like, okay, stillness breaks would probably make sense to people. But then unlimited vacation, I can hear people saying in their head, how does the company work? I think it would be really useful for you to talk about that 459 rejuvenator dimension. I know you mentioned earlier that Margaret Wheatley's statement, people support what they create, but if you could explain how having unlimited vacation actually supports the evolution of a company and isn't sort of what most people would be afraid people would take advantage of it.
So to the whole kind of sixth dimension of the sustaining energy, which is based on trust, and there's been many books and research on trust, and trust is like a dividend. When you trust people, it pays back in spades, and it lubricates. It makes everything happen faster. when you don't trust people, it's like a huge tax and weight on an organization. So by having unlimited vacation, and there's a number, like Netflix is doing it, and there's a number, ATB Financial in Calgary is investigating it right now, and that's a big bank, is by trusting people, it's like creating a big dividend. And actually, our greatest fear when we did it is people would not take enough time off.
Mm-hmm.
So by trusting people to get the work done and do it as they see fit, amazing things happen. And it's very, this whole thing, same with mindfulness and taking pauses. It's kind of counterintuitive that, you know, by being mindful, we're actually more productive. By taking breaks during our day, we're decreasing our stress, increasing our productivity. Like the data on taking the breaks and using that regenerative energy is truly amazing. And yet it's so, Jessica, kind of counterculture. And yet it's what I think we most need. And, you know, boardrooms in Calgary are now beginning their board meetings with mindfulness before they go into the meetings.
That's so beautiful. I was just got to spend a little bit of time with the man who's the director of the Mindfulness Initiative in London, in England, and they also are bringing values of mindfulness or looking at how they can support that happening through many sectors of Great Britain. So it's really exciting to hear about this happening in Canada. Can you tell me a little bit about the story of Blue Era?
So Blue Era began in 2008, possibly the most difficult time to begin a company. The financial meltdown was happening, and we are in the business. So Blue Era, builders of evolved and awakened teams through executive search, team transformation, and coaching. And you know, possibly the worst time to begin a search firm. And for the first 2 years, my business partner and I, Shahana, we didn't take a salary, yet we believed, you know, so vehemently in what we were doing that we figured it out. You know, we began the company on our credit card, and now it's one of the fastest growing companies in Canada and top 10 in our province, and doing breakthrough things like, you know, unlimited vacation. And, you know, we now do videos for our job descriptions, like really, you know, bleeding edge work. And it began with kind of, you know, falling down. It began with working through a lot of tough stuff. And the Enneagram has been instrumental to our growth as a company because we knew, for example, we don't have a 5 on our team. We don't have a lot of regeneration in terms of the 5-4 on our team. So we knew to take time for pauses and to take time to be innovative. And that has had a profound effect on our business, as well as knowing the different instincts on our team. We know what we're high on, we know what we're low on, and we know what we need to activate to do things differently. And the Enneagram really does provide a map when we you know, feel it and think it, and to really activate something different for organizations. It's just, you know, I think it's an important story to tell that it's not always easy, and you know, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. It was, you know, this isn't rocket science. Cultivate relationships, cultivate self-awareness, cultivate organizational culture, and you will beat the data. In fact, the data shows also by focusing more on culture, there's an over 300% return.
So wow.
And Jessica, you know, what I'm describing, it's not rocket science, is it?
No. But I think the Enneagram has given, understanding the instincts And understanding the nine different kinds of energies that are needed has given you a kind of capacity to harmoniously bring together what has probably seemed to many people and businesses throughout time as disparate, you know, or different energies that were in conflict with each other. I think you've been able to bring in through this Enneagram and Instincts model a kind of unifying structure that allows people to see their blind spots, or companies to see their blind spots more easily, but also to invite in all the different gifts and energies of all their employees. Does that feel true?
Mm-hmm. It does feel true. It does feel true. And there have been times, Jessica, when there's been a lot of 3-6-9 energy in the company, with very few of the breakout of the inner triangle, and we've definitely worked when that's occurred as we've been growing. We've definitely worked at bringing in the other energies, because we all have the different types within us. We just have to kind of pull them out a little bit more.
You know, that's so interesting, Catherine, that you talked about the 3-6-9 triangle in the companies and needing to work, because I feel like America has myself being a citizen of the United States, I feel like America has really gotten caught in that triangle a lot, especially since 9/11, that we're traditionally a very three country, much about productivity, but then when we get scared, we kind of go to six, and then we're so stressed that we kind of go to the low side of nine to try to, you know, get away from it or get downtime or whatever. And it seems like that would be a good formula for our culture, is really supporting many of the other energies in a conscious way.
I definitely feel that and think the regeneration energy is where we need to put our emphasis, and I believe that our planet is a direct reflection of our own consciousness, and now it's just heating up.
Yes, and self-destructing. So, you know, this contemplation, regeneration energy that you're talking about is a deep valuing of our core. It's a deep valuing of our authentic nature. And, I love that. It's just, isn't it so beautiful in terms of seeing the fundamental unity of even seemingly contrasting, you know, values, that here you're talking about business and you're telling all of us that the most important thing that we need to pay attention to, the thing that we've been blind to, is this rejuvenation energy of, you know, the kind of withdrawal, like really leaning into listening and inquiring and being contemplative. I think it's so wonderful of a metaphor for our age to bring business and rejuvenation or creativity in that kind of 4-5-9 way together.
And it is the true, it is such a key to building an ongoing, lasting, healthy, joyful, meaningful, interesting organization. Unless everything is done in some form of organization, Jessica. And I just want to give an example of a journey of somebody we have been working with. And you mentioned America's a type 3, and this person's a type 3, and he found himself one day in a parking lot with his hands in his face, and he was just in tears because he realized he just couldn't keep pushing as hard as he was. He was in so much pain, like a hamster, you know, in one of those treadmills, and there was no real meaning. There was no real, he didn't feel like he was really contributing because he was so just on the agenda, what's next, and he was so burnt out. And his journey from kind of the overworked, goal-oriented three without any meaning to now I'd definitely call him an awakened executive where he sees the meaning in every moment, the meaning in every relationship, the meaning in everything he touches. And I feel that that's the real journey kind of back to our souls, which then activates everything else that we touch.
So, Catherine, at some point, I know it's taken you 7 years to, you shared with me, to write this book, The Awakened Company.
Mm.
That's a labor of love and focus. I imagine that was included rejuvenation aspects, times when you really had to dig down and even tear things apart and listen more deeply to what was wanting to come forth. Can you tell us a little bit about the story of The Awakened Company and why you wanted to write that book?
So the name The Awakened Company came to me, it was over 7 years ago, and I was in a dimly lit cafe in New York City, and I turned to my colleague Carolyn, and the name just kind of came, and I said, Carolyn, I have to write this book. You know, I was so tired of, in many ways, my own disengagement, and I was really angry. Like, I was really angry about the status quo and having lived the status quo and seen kind of everybody, oh, thank goodness it's Friday. I have many kind of physical and emotional bruises from the workplace. Like, it can be just brutal. And I didn't want, I have two boys, Jessica, and I really didn't want my boys to grow up in such a system. So I'm like, we need to do better. We can do better. This book's coming out. So wrote the book in about a year. I'm like, oh, I've nailed it. This book is just awesome. And I didn't want a traditional business publisher. I thought that traditional business was part of the problem. So I loved Eckhart Tolle's work. So I thought, you know, I really want Namaste to publish this book because I think on a very deep level they'll understand what this book stands for. So I gave the book to Constance Keller, the president of Namaste, a year after writing it. And she said no. No way was she going to publish this. It was not very well written, and nor did she think the timing was right for it. So then I kept on working on it. Talk about kind of gut perseverance and determination and energy and focus. I'm like, I'm going to write this book. And it began to gather steam. So met with Don Riso, and one of Don, for any writer out there, this is a key thing, is have a notebook with you all the time. So had a notebook with me all the time, started, you know, writing anything I saw, anything I observed. I was gathering articles. In fact, my basement is full with books and articles and research and data, because the book really marries empirical evidence with wisdom traditions and practical know-how. And then I'm like, I think, and then my aunt read my manuscript, and my aunt said, Kath, you need Russ Hudson. You need Russ to work with you on this book. And so I asked Russ, and I thought, there's no way he's going to say yes to this. There's no way. And, you know, there's my rejection bias, Jessica. And sure enough, he said yes. He said yes. So he joined the Awakening train, and Christopher Papadopoulos in Montreal joined the Awakening train. And then I'm like, I want to hear from more business leaders too. Like, so I reached out to Otto Scharmer, and I wrote a letter. He didn't know me from Adam. And I said, will you participate? And he said, yes. I reached out to the CEO of Patagonia, Rosa Marcario, to see if she would participate. And she said, yes. So if I can do this, anybody can do this. So I just wanted the message to come clear that by activating, by kind of leaning into and sitting back and thinking what you want, life has a funny way of assisting you with it. And then we got endorsements from Tony Robbins, and Zappos participated in the book. Like, it's truly been such a remarkable journey. And all the while, I was kept in touch with Namaste. And finally, after the fourth time, Constance Kellow said yes, she would publish it. She thought it was outstanding. And she thought that business was ready for it. And our editor, David Ord, was just fantastic. So it was a real journey with Jessica, tons of ups, tons of downs, tons of sideways, tons of back and forth. And it was a message that kind of, it was a journey really from anger to love and compassion to create a new system. You know, Russ calls it a manifesto for the future. And that's really what it is we can all be awakening, and we're awakening together. And by moment, we have the opportunity to see what is awesome, see what is amazing, and see our interconnection and how our life is never really separate from anything else.
That is so beautiful, Catherine. I love what you said about that we can always be awakening in every moment. And I think that is what is so needed, not only for us to experience our personal satisfaction and feel like we flowered ourselves in our lifetime, but for our planet to survive even, or to thrive, there needs to be new pathways for, again, collective intelligence and creativity. And so the whole notion of awakening becomes not just something to do, you know, that some people do as a spiritual calling, but it becomes a necessity for everyone in our species. And so we have to be able to do it in our own homes, in our workplaces, and it just seems like this is an idea whose time has come, the awakened company. The awakened anything, the awakened organization. And so I do want people to know how they can learn more about your work. Of course, they can get The Awakened Company on Amazon, but you have a website, theawakenedcompany.com, correct?
That's right. And our blog also has case studies for people to use. It has infographics for people to use and share. It has quotables. It has video interviews. And for people to really use what is there. We also have products. We have awakening cards. We have a fun T-shirt. We have gratitude cards. Because one of the things I noticed is, back to what's the smallest thing we can do? We can say thank you. So I created a whole series of cards, gratitude cards, for leaders to use to notice what is going awesome in their organization and to bring a sense of play to back. Life isn't so serious. Like, we're here to enjoy it.
So let's come back to that notion you just had for a moment, just deepen a little bit into it, Catherine, about what is the smallest thing you can do? Because we were talking before we even began this recording, you and I, and you were saying that people feel like, oh, they have to go for the big vision. It feels overwhelming. But really what you're tending to want to show people is that it's the day-to-day little actions that they take that actually build the vision. Can you just say a little bit more about that?
So this is from Dr. Julian Barling, who's a researcher and professor at Queen's University. And, you know, we have all these bold visions, but it comes back to what are our daily actions? How are we bridging this thinking-doing gap? And how can we cultivate, you know, our self-awareness? How can we cultivate our relatedness, our relationships? And how can we cultivate our teams and our culture? And by every day, what's the smallest thing we can do? Think of that email. Do you want to send an email to a whole group of people, or would you rather maybe drop by their office for a moment or two? Just taking a moment and really thinking and feeling into what is the smallest action that would have the biggest impact. And it's all those series of small actions that help to build culture and help to build organizations that create this awakening context for us all to come alive in. Because, you know, it could be the smallest pause that makes the biggest difference. Yeah.
That's beautiful. A little dip into rejuvenation could be the whole opening of a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one more question for you. This has been a wonderful and inspiring interview. And this is a question I'm sure many people who are interested in the Enneagram would want to know. When you work with an organization, a company, a business, a group of people, do you primarily have people work on their own instincts and type? Do you have them learn all of the 9 types and think about the types more systemically, like just that energy in themselves and that energy in the company? Is it a combination of both?
So it is, when we work with organizations, we work on the three instincts, really. We work individually with the whole cultivation of self-awareness and mindfulness, and Enneagram, that goes into Enneagram type, what are our blind spots, what are our greatest gifts, and then also how can we walk around the entire wheel of the Enneagram, that we aren't just solely a type, that we're everything, and how to bring up the types that they want to bring up, and how to cultivate presence and present moment awareness in leadership. And at the same time, where we work at cultivating relationships, and how do you build relationships, like real relationships, Jessica, real relationships, and noticing each other's awesome. And then we also look at team maps and how does the whole entire team show up, like we did at Blue Era. And what does a team need to do to activate awakening moment by moment by moment? And noticing where they're strong and where their work-ons are. So there's kind of underpinning all of this is this open-mindedness, open-heartedness, open will that is absolutely key in working on the three. So individually, relationship, and at a team level. You know, are we behaving in an awake or in a sleep manner?
And it does seem like through all three of those levels that you're really encouraging people to be aware of all 9 dimensions, all 9 types of expression, whether it's acting as a company or in a personal relationship with someone or with themselves.
Yes, very, very much so. And so, for example, it was rare. We were working with a 5, and I say rare because you know the data on the percentage
yes.
of 5 is very low. And this 5 had, imagine, you're walking into his office, and he had a wall of books and it on his desk because he didn't want people to actually have real personal access. And that 5 now, knowing his Enneagram type, he makes a point of once a month he goes out with somebody and he asks them personal questions to cultivate a connection within his team. Whereas before he wasn't doing that, it was too much. And he's taken the books off his desk to make it more inviting for people to come in and to kind of talk story and share story. And that's had a radical impact. And let's just talk about, we haven't really talked about the metrics, so I just want to add a piece about the metrics here, Jessica, is that there's an organization that's followed the Awakening Company, and they have gone from nothing to over $1 billion in assets in under 5 years.
Wow.
So this works. This absolutely works. And you look at organizations like Patagonia that hold true to their values, it works. It builds lasting, sustaining organizations that aren't burning the people out, and for the most part, aren't burning the planet out because they're more aware.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to say, Catherine, and you know more about this than I do, so if I get the nomenclature or linguistics of it wrong, you can correct me, but I think it's important for people to know that when you talk about a company growing to $1 billion, we're not just talking about people making money and having, you know, personal assets. What that's descriptive of is that a company was able to expand and have more personnel and do more projects, and so it reflects an entire growth span, right?
Well, totally, and it's not, it's interesting because it wasn't that, it's not that company's objective to hit that target. The company's objective is to improve the world, improve this company's focus on triple bottom line. That's their objective, not the finances. The finances are an outcome of doing everything else awesomely. So, but it's not, whereas right now the mindset is, the mindset mantra is, let's focus on our finances. And the whole system actually rewards that, the whole quarter by quarter mentality, when that's not really what works.
Well, Catherine,
like, we're at a kind of a, yeah, it's a really interesting time to be alive.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, I was going to ask you if you had a kind of closing statement, and that sounds like it might be it. You want to say a little bit about this interesting time?
So it's an interesting time to be alive, as I feel like the landscape is shifting, and we have an opportunity to awaken something together. Everything is done in some form of organization, and by awakening more fully together, we will create a thriving organizations, thriving individuals, thriving relationships, and a thriving awakening planet that is flourishing, because it's all connected, and we're all connected, and we're in this together, and we can solve our problems together by awakening together.
Well, thank you so much for being so dedicated to articulating and practicing pathways that we all can learn about and cultivate ourselves and add to and be creative about awakening together. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Thanks for having me, Jessica.
Thank you for joining us for the Enneagram Global Summit, brought to you by the Shift Network. To add this powerful collection of teachings to your personal library, visit enneagramglobalsummit.com/upgrade. To join our global community of people awakening to their divine humanity and taking inspired action, visit theshiftnetwork.com. Thank you again for gathering with us and for sharing this empowering path with your friends and family.